So here we are, 1 week later. We're in the midst of the Easter season. The lilies are still up. We still have rays of light coming down upon the table and the altar, and we have white. We're remembering and celebrating the resurrection of Jesus, our Christ. This is the day that we read the scripture passage that reminds us of how many of the disciples encountered the Easter message. On that first Easter evening, Jesus came to be among them in sort of a strange way, right? The doors are all locked, and yet Jesus appears among them and offers them peace. It's also the day that we remember that Scripture tells us that Thomas was not there with them, that a week later he was gathered with them, and Jesus appears to Thomas. Apparently, Jesus, like us, had heard about what Thomas said a week earlier, "Unless I see, unless I place my hand." And so Jesus comes in, offers peace again, and welcomes Thomas to do exactly those things that he said he would need to do. Sometimes we pick on Thomas an awful lot. We forget the fact that that's what Jesus did when he arrived with the disciples on Easter evening. He says, "Look, and look." And they believed. I want to talk today about what it means for us here a week out from Easter hype. Easter that has become so hyped in so many ways that for many of our neighbors and friends and people around the world, it's about pastel colors and bunnies and eggs and chocolate and baskets. But something gets lost in there. But this week we read the scripture passage, these Easter appearances by Jesus, the resurrected Lord, appearances at which Jesus says to the disciples, "Peace be with you." On that Easter evening, Jesus not only offers them peace, but breathes on them and invites them to receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. I imagine the disciples had had a rough weekend, that Easter weekend. They'd seen and or heard about their teacher having been brutally crucified. Then they'd heard these stories about an empty tomb and what had happened. Mary by then had told them how she had encountered him in the garden. There must have been so many questions, so much unease. And now, in a closed-up room, Jesus appears. What a moment of anxiety, of stress. And yes, Jesus comes to offer peace and to invite them to receive the Holy Spirit in and through His breath. You may have noticed by the way I'm talking this morning, I think this is a Sunday to slow down. A Sunday to think about what does it mean to be at peace and to receive the Holy Spirit. As I was thinking about this table talk, actually a couple of months ago, I was thinking about what does it mean in our lives to receive things, to understand what they are for us, and to just be open to their presence in the world. And for some reason, maybe I was hungry when I was writing this, I was thinking about food. Sometimes I don't receive food. Sometimes I don't say, "Oh, look, here's food before me. Now I'm going to understand it's fuel for my body, and I'm going to eat it. And it's going to be that thing that I need so that I have energy for the day. There are times when instead of receiving food, I'm taking food. I want this and I want that and I want this. And in it goes. And I'm thinking only about I want, I need, I must. Sometimes so much so that an hour or so later, I can't even remember whether I've eaten. Because it was all about me and all about my need. There have been many times in my life, especially when I've been a guest somewhere, oftentimes when I've been a guest in places around the world, when people have offered me food and I've been able to look at it, been able to inhale the aroma, been able to receive it as a gift and understand what it means for me. Maybe there are things in your own life that are that way, that you've not taken the time to understand and just receive them. Maybe it's the presence of another person. Maybe it's an opportunity. Maybe it's a moment. This week, as we think about Jesus' interaction as the risen Christ with his beloved disciples, all of them who were gathered in that room, and all of those that he encountered, Mary and so many others beyond that room, he offered them an opportunity to receive. We're told that that Spirit comes to us as a breath. Receive the Holy Spirit, and Jesus breathes on them. Here's the thing about receiving breath. In order to take some in, you have to let some out. Here's how I know that. Not the obvious reason that I'm still here alive, but I'm a swimmer. And I swim both the breaststroke and freestyle, or the American crawl, and I usually do it my face in the water, and I usually do rotational breathing. And so it's face in the water, face in the water, breathe. Face in the water, face in the water, breathe. Here's the thing. If you don't breathe out while your face is in the water, you can't breathe in when your face is out of the water. It actually hurts. And if you do it too many times, you pass out. And if you wait to breathe out at the last second, you're going to have your face out of the water to breathe out and then back in the water when it's time to breathe in, and that doesn't work very well. You also know that unless you breathe out, you cannot successfully breathe in, whether you're swimmers or not. We saw this in the natural world in a very exciting way years ago when we were off the coast at the tip of South Africa on a whaling boat, right? A whale-watching boat, not a whale-killing boat. We were out to watch whales, and something we didn't know but we found out that day was that our youngest son can speak to whales, and they will listen. We had this captain who was a whale researcher, and somehow we ended up on this big boat, and it was just our family and the skipper and the first mate. I was afraid we were going to end up on Gilligan's Island when it happened. But for some reason, that's how the tour got booked, and we were the only ones there. And so the skipper was interacting with us and said to Hotso, who was very small at the time, "Look, there's some whales over there. Call them and see if they come." So Hotso called them. He doesn't exactly speak whale, I suppose, so he called them this way. "Here, whaley, 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 whaley. Here, whaley, whaley, whaley." And he stood there at the rail on that boat's deck and called whales, and sure enough, a whale comes away from the group and comes right to the side of the boat where Hotso is, and right up alongside and tips so that the whale eye is looking right up at Hotso, still saying, "Here, whaley, whaley, whaley." Now by this time, the captain of the boat, a seasoned skipper who's taken whale tours for years and years and years is staring at Hotso and the whale with his mouth hanging open. And he says to us, "I've never seen this before." Well, the whale was so close, thanks to Hotso, that we could see and hear and even smell and feel its breathing. When it went under the water, and when it came back up, we could hear, see, feel, and smell as the whale's spout blew. And then as it inhaled quickly to dip back under the water. It had to receive air and release air in order to survive. Just as does each of us. Jesus did an incredible thing with those disciples. He stood among them as the risen Christ, and he offered them an understanding of what it means to receive. As he breathed on them, he was letting them know that a receiving is a taking in, a breathing in, a readiness for the presence of God's Holy Spirit. Here's something else I know because I'm a swimmer. You can't hold it in for too long. Otherwise, you're in trouble. How long do you think you can hold your breath? Who thinks they can hold their breath for 30 seconds? Are there some 30-second people here? Who thinks they can do it for a minute? Anybody for a minute? Yeah, a minute's a little rougher. How about 90 seconds? Anybody think they can do it for a minute and a half? Okay, some folks here. 2 minutes, anyone? 2 minutes, okay. 2:30? 2:30 is my record. Yeah, I don't even know if I could do it today, but 2:30 is my record. I saw a guy on TV once do it for 9 minutes. I'm not sure what that's about. But the thing is, it's natural for us when we breathe in to then breathe out. So here's the thing. Jesus offered the Holy Spirit as a breath. Receive the Holy Spirit. Imagine the disciples breathing that in. This wonderful moment, Jesus offering this Holy Spirit to them. As they breathed it in, they must have known that it then would flow through them and be breathed out and shared with the world. I want you to think about that this week. I want you to think about the fact that just as the disciples were invited to receive the Holy Spirit, so are we. We read that text. In fact, John intended us to read that text so that we would also know that it's a gift that comes into our lives that we're asked to receive and we can breathe it in. In fact, I'd like you to practice that with me. I'd like you to just to breathe in over about 4 or 5 count through your nose maybe, and then slowly breathe out over about the same count. Just practice what it is to receive air, to receive spirit, to receive the wind of the world. By the way, all the same Greek word, pneuma. Pneuma. Let's breathe in together. And out. And in. And out. Here's the gift Jesus offered all of us. His Spirit-filled presence in our lives, reminding us of God's love, God's grace, God's triumph over the grave. And then this special meal. Every time you do this, remember me, he said. And we do. As disciples, we do it week in and week out. Something as natural as eating bread and drinking together. And we remember him. And because He knew that the Holy Spirit would be available to us and with us in our lives at every moment, He connected it with breath. Receive the Holy Spirit. This week, as often as you can, remember that as you breathe in, God's Holy Spirit is present in your life. As you breathe in, as you're at work, at play, at table with one another, when you breathe in, recognize the presence of God's Holy Spirit. And then, when you breathe out, remember that it's a Holy Spirit-filled breath that you have received that you offer to the world around you. Because here's the thing. Those disciples, those early followers, those people who had the incredible joy of seeing and hearing the risen Christ not only received the Spirit, but they were called to carry it into the world and share it with the world. Breathe in, receive the Holy Spirit, so that as you breathe out and live in the world, you share that loving, holy, grace-filled Spirit of God wherever you go. The Spirit travels through the world, in the air around us, grace-filled love of God, in the stories that we read and repeat and sing and tell, and in our very lives as we share them with others. At the risk of being boring for years and years to come, I'm still on an incredible high from having been at the tomb of the Apostle Thomas last January. Remember last Easter, this same week, the Doubting Thomas week, I told you that I was surprised to learn that Thomas got all the way to the tip of southern India, tradition tells us, where he was martyred and where he was buried. And about 18 months ago or so, I was there at that spot. Words just above the chapel where I shared communion with other Christians, there at the burial place of Thomas, good old Doubting Thomas, it says, "My Lord and my God." One way or another, Thomas also, though a week later, received that Holy Spirit, believed, and shared not only in and around Judea and Galilee, but all the way down to the subcontinent of Asia, to the very southern tip of India. Where will you go this week, this month, this year? How will you bear the good news of the risen Christ in the places you find yourself? And how will you share that Spirit? To begin with this week, I invite you, as you breathe in, remind yourself that God's Holy Spirit is a part of your life. Receive the Holy Spirit and share it with the world. It fills you. It nourishes you. It empowers you. It gives you peace. Peace that you can offer to others this day and every day. And for that, thanks.